In the past, attacks on net neutrality, the policy that calls on internet service providers to treat all traffic equally, has turned some of the biggest names in tech into activists. Not many voices have been louder than Netflix in defending net neutrality. But as Jacob Kastronekis from The Verge noted in a recent report, Netflix has a history of flip-flopping, and it seems to be softening its stance in the Trump era. Jacob, take us through your story. What's Netflix's stance today, and how does that differ from where it's been in the past?
Yeah, so like you were saying, when the big net neutrality fight was happening 2 years ago, Netflix was one of the more vocal proponents of it. They were clear activists. And things have sort of softened since then. And just last week, my colleague Lauren Good asked Netflix's CEO, Reed Hastings, what he thinks about net neutrality coming under attack by the Trump administration. And he says, well, we're not too worried. And here, I'm just going to read this to you. He says, quote, "The culture around net neutrality is very strong. The expectations of consumers are very strong. So even if the formal framework gets weakened, we don't see a big risk actualizing because consumers know they're entitled to getting all of the web services." So basically, rather than going out and saying, hey, we're worried about this, we need to maintain strong net neutrality, Netflix has now gone to the side where they're like, well, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing. I think everything will work out more or less fine. And the thing is, if you look through all the statements Netflix has made over the years, they sort of get weaker and weaker as Netflix gets bigger and bigger. I think there's sort of a clear reason why. Back in 2012, when Netflix came out really strong for net neutrality, well, Netflix's streaming service is only a year old. It was pretty small. And it was one of the services that would get discriminated against in a web that did not have net neutrality rules. But now it's 2017, Netflix is enormous, it has a ton of cash, and it has the ability to negotiate with internet providers. And so were the tides to turn, and it looks like things might get shaken up a little bit, Netflix would be in a fairly good position. And so it doesn't really have to worry about this. And the unfortunate reality is that it's almost advantageous to Netflix on some level if these smaller streaming startups have a tougher time getting started.
So basically, there's kind of a competitive advantage for Netflix if the internet shifts to a pay-to-play model because it can afford to pay where others can't.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so I don't want to say that Netflix is now, you know, completely gone to the dark side. It's not like they've said, oh, you know what, we changed our mind, net neutrality is bad, we would love to, sponsor our way into your home and screw over the small guys. But, there's a very clear change in tone from what we heard a few years ago. Whereas a few years ago, Netflix was very clear about its support for net neutrality. Now it sounds like it's saying, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, we'll be fine. And that is a very clear difference. And I think, you know, you're right that this is because Netflix doesn't have to worry quite so much. Sorry, what was that?
I was going to say the one thing I really like about your piece is that it goes through the timeline and comparing each point with like the amount of subscribers and their stock price and how their what they said about net neutrality really changed over those years. Because I think net neutrality for someone who really hasn't paid much attention to the way the pipes work, it's confusing for people. And so there was always this idea, like, oh, hey, Netflix is on our team. And now it's frustrating. I think of I like to compare most things to Taylor Swift in technology. That's how it helps me understand it. But, you know, when she came out against, having the free tier on Spotify, you know, it was like she doesn't need that money. Like, it's not, you know, she was just trying to be for the little guy. And that's what I thought that Netflix was for, like the little the people that, you know, the way they started. But, you know, I guess they're not.
Yeah, it's true. And I think when Netflix was being a big supporter of net neutrality, it was very much on the way up. It was still on the rise. It still needed to make sure that the road was clear for it to deliver things. And again, it's not like Netflix has come out in opposition to it or anything, but it's a very clear change of tone. Because before, you know, in 2012, Reed Hastings, Netflix's CEO, wrote a Facebook post calling out Comcast when Comcast started favoring its own cable service over stuff like Netflix. And he said, absolutely no way should that be allowed to happen. And now Netflix is starting to do some of those things. And there are certainly gray areas here, like zero rating, which people like somewhat, but it definitely opens the door to that kind of discrimination where Netflix gets favored and the smaller services don't. And, you know, if you go through over the past 5 years, it's interesting because Netflix's interest in net neutrality has sort of changed as it's grown. So at first it was worried about, are we going to have access? Are we going to have different data caps than internet providers' own services? Then later I got worried about this whole interconnect issue where, you know, a company like Comcast or Verizon will charge it a fee since Netflix is sending so much traffic their way. And so, you know, Netflix was claiming that they would get charged twice. And they made a whole big deal about this and actually got written into the net neutrality rules that the FCC could look at Internet Connect agreements. And this is almost entirely because Netflix complained about it. And the big thing right now is that the reason this is coming up again is that there's a new person in charge of the FCC, Ajit Pai, and he is not a fan of the net neutrality rules as they currently stand. You know, 2 years ago, the FCC decided that internet providers are a utility, as they basically just have these, you know, cables that go everywhere and deliver internet. They're not doing too much. And, you know, Pai thinks that's wrong. And we don't know exactly what he's going to do about that, but so far, you know, he's only been on the job about 2 months, but he's rolling back as many net neutrality rules as he possibly can. And so, you know, we thought this fight was over 2 years ago. Well, unfortunately, it is about to get started again, and it's not clear how it's going to go. But chances are, you know, unless people will fight pretty strongly once again, this is going to get weakened because 2 years ago, the Democrats were in charge, and the Democrats generally are much bigger fans of net neutrality, whereas, you know, the Republican administration and the Trump administration are not fans of it. They want, you know, to just let the market decide and see how it goes. They think there are interesting business opportunities in allowing fast lanes and so on and so forth. And, you know, the Netflix is one of the great examples of why we shouldn't have that, because if Netflix was able to be blocked by, you know, somebody like a Comcast several years back, then it wouldn't have completely, you know, upended how we watch TV and movies. It wouldn't have upended the fact that movies can be released the same day that they premiere in a theater.
So
that's great.
With Netflix kind of backing away from supporting net neutrality, softening its stance, arguably moving to the dark side, if you want to look at it that way, who do we have left? Who else in tech are those champions of net neutrality? And do you see them maybe taking a similar stance as Netflix? Is there any indication that other folks who are vocal supporters of net neutrality in the past are going to back away and follow Netflix in their footsteps?
Yeah, and this is a really good question. It's something that I think is going to be really interesting to see over the coming months. The thing is, most of these companies haven't been pressed on it yet, just because they don't have to. And I think they're probably going to avoid it as much as they can for now, because this is taking a stance that's, you know, opposed to the administration. I think, you know, if we go back a few years, most tech companies were big proponents of net neutrality. If you'll remember, a ton of websites, you know, blacked out or shut down for a day.
Yeah, for the
in
SOPA
protest
and PIPA. Yeah.
Stuff like this. Yes, exactly. And so there are absolutely a ton of net neutrality supporters out there, including from these big companies. The question is how far they're willing to go again, because, you know, it's frustrating having to fight this battle again and again and again. And so we don't know what they're going to do this time. But I think that generally speaking, they agree that having an open web is a positive thing. The trouble is there are different degrees of openness, right? There's the full openness that we have right now under these rules. But, you know, people are arguing, well, it can be mostly open, but we can still allow for, you know, some special cases. And I think that the question is, are the advocates going to come out again and fight against that, even if they might be able to take advantage of those things?
So I wonder, how important do you think regular people, you know, folks paying those Netflix bills are going to be into swaying the participation in companies for supporting or not things like Netflix? Delete Uber protests come to mind. And we're able to kind of shift the will of that company, at least get the CEO off of that Trump advisory board and things like this. Do you think that, you know, we could see something similar, or is net neutrality just not in the public consciousness at that level? Because from what I remember a few years ago with Sopapipa, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like there was a public outcry in support of keeping things open on the web. And we're not seeing that from regular folks right now either yet.
Yeah, no, I think you are right that just Americans are going to play an enormous role here, and they did a few years ago. It's just that right now it's simmering a little bit, right? It hasn't actually the issue is not back in the public consciousness again. It's we're still not clear on what's going to happen. I think the threat that net neutrality is going to be reversed or weakened substantially, the threat is there. They're already chipping away at it, but there's no clear signal that it's going to happen. Whereas, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it was overturned in court and we had nothing. And so there was a very clear reason to fight. But people care about this a lot, right? People care about the internet. People want to fight for this. And we saw that 2 years ago, you know, that I think that John Oliver piece was incredibly influential in getting people riled up. And, you know, the FCC, which sets these rules, they have to respond to public comments. Mm-hmm. And so that absolutely plays a role. And I think, you know, public outcry has made it such that even people who don't want, you know, the full strong net neutrality, they would never say that they don't want an open internet. The default stance is that you want an open internet. There's a very good argument to be made that a lot of these people are okay with still, you know, a few too many restrictions on what open means.
They have caveats.
Exactly. But, you know, the public has made it clear that, you know, at a bare minimum, we're talking about degrees of openness, and that's still not a good discussion to be having because it should just be open. But, you know, that's what we have so far. And it's also interesting you bring this up because one of the things that Netflix actually did, and one of the things that I highlighted in this timeline, is a couple of years ago, they said, you know what, if, you know, a company like Comcast or Verizon, some internet provider, decides to start throttling us or they won't let us through, we have a bunch of really passionate subscribers and we will have them riot. We will have them freak out on these companies and be a total pain and let them know whose fault this is. And so that's just what Netflix says it can do. And I have no doubt that they're right about that. You know, if Netflix and Google and Facebook or you know, Reddit, these companies have engaged audiences or are able to reach millions and millions of people. And that can go a long way once you tell people what's happening and how bad things could feasibly get. And I think that people responding to that and making it clear that they're not okay with putting restrictions on internet usage is going to be what ultimately, you know, gets us or saves sound net neutrality rules as much as we can.
Well, I think that the problem also is programs like Binge On are attractive to people. Like, oh yeah, well if you know, if I can just get my Netflix or get, you know, stream whatever I want and it won't add to my data, then great. Like, what do I care? You know, they're not saying like I don't like an open internet. They're saying like I like to be able to stream a lot of videos, and I get that. And I think that's part of it. And I think it's also part of it is that we live in a different time. I mean, Tom Wheeler didn't believe in net neutrality and like the John Oliver piece that you talked about and the, you know, the hordes of people and the comments, they changed his mind. It feels like it would be much harder to change Ajit Pai's mind. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's true. He's been very clear how he feels about what happened. And the thing is, Chairman Pai, he's, you know, again, like everybody else, he says he supports a free and open internet. He would never say otherwise. But he doesn't think there should be strong rules to back it up. And if you don't have that, then you don't really have net neutrality at the end of the day. So that's the problem. And the question is, how far are they going to go when it comes to chipping it back? They've started a little bit, but I don't think there's going to be a full changing his mind. I don't think that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, the FCC still does have an obligation to the public. And so if there are specific areas that the public pushes back on, you know, that makes it harder for him to strip that away. And like you said, something like Binjian, this is where we run into issues, right? Because Pai can point to Binjian and say, you know, people love these programs. They're getting free data. And it's hard to explain why that's bad, because it sounds great. You're getting free video. It's not counting towards your data cap. That sounds fantastic. And the issue is that only certain things are counting toward that, right? And so if Netflix doesn't count toward your data cap, but, you know, some small upstart service does, then you're never going to use that smaller service. And that's not really free and open. And so, you know, the exact same things that helped Netflix rise, the absence of those data caps, are going to be what helps it stay in control. If you know, we allow things like zero rating in Binjian. And that's much harder to explain away and say, you know, why this is bad and why we need to fight back against this, because the immediate sense is that it's a positive for people. The immediate sense is that this is a good thing.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jake, for explaining this all to us. It's a fascinating issue. Please go to TheVerge.com and see his report here. It's one of the most detailed things that we've seen on this issue, and it's definitely going to be something that's going to be important over the year and years to come. Thank you so much again for joining us, Jacob. Tell people where they can find you and follow you online.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Jake_K, and you can find my stuff at TheVerge.com all the time. Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.